Hello, and welcome back to our discussion. We are continuing our conversation about the callings God has given to us as men and women. My name is Pastor Ben Kratz, and I serve as one of the pastoral advisors for the Wells Women's Ministry Committee. And joining me again today are some of the members of the Women's Ministry Committee's executive team. Maybe as you introduce yourself, share a favorite pet or a pet you've dreamed about having. I'll go first. We had a half lab, half retriever growing up. His name was Friday. And that was because I believe he was born on a Friday. So we're very creative with names in the Kratz household and might have been the best dog ever.
Ben, that's hard to follow up. This is Naomi Schmidt, and we had a black lab that was just a dearly beloved pet in our family. And just treasure those memories. And it was a great dog.
I'm Christy Meyer, and I will play off of the we had problems naming pets as well. Growing up, I had hamsters, lots of hamsters. They only lived 2 to 3 years. So you just kind of got to recycle or a revolving door of hamsters. But every single hamster that we had was named Herman, every single one, all of them. And they were all girls.
Christy, I'm jumping in, Dawn. That makes me laugh because my grandpa had a dog. It was, I don't remember what kind of dog it was, but as a kid growing up, there was always just, his name was Sporty. I'm fairly certain my grandpa went through multiple dogs, but because it was always the same kind of dog in black, we just always assumed it was the same dog that somehow lived like 25 years. So that it just reminded me of that, the dog Sporty who never actually seemed like he ever died. Sorry, Dawn. Now, please go ahead, Dawn.
Thanks. Hearing your stories reaffirms that I am probably not a pet owner. My only experience was going to a fair as a young girl, and I think I brought home a goldfish as a prize. And I'm assuming it was like a fall fair because I put the bowl by the window, but when I woke up the morning, it must have gotten cold enough because there was a top layer of ice. So needless to say, the fish didn't make it. And I don't think I just can care for another animal. And God was telling me that right off the bat. So
thanks for sharing, Dawn. Maybe just a quick reminder of how we do things. As the first email and discussion this week, we're taking a closer look at scripture and an aspect of the principle God has given to us in his word. Later this week, we'll have another email come out, and that discussion will address some of the practical aspects of how the principle applies to our lives. So this week, we are jumping into a section of God's word from Titus chapter 2. So in Titus 2, Paul gives specific encouragements to different groups of people. I guess, how do you see those encouragements play out in your local congregation?
I love thinking about that question because there's so many realms that occurs in. And I think in a local congregation, you're going to see it with Sunday school and youth groups and even ushering where older men are mentoring the younger men and just respect for worship and that kind of thing. I guess what I'm trying to say is there's some formal settings for that within the congregation. But I think especially we also want to be mindful of the informal settings where that happens. Those conversations in the narthex or someone who invites a friend out for coffee. And so I think that it's really great to see those informal relationships developing. And I think we want to be mindful of as women to reach out to younger people. Sometimes I think they're probably not really interested in what I would have to say, but just to compliment them if they sing in church or play in church or win an award for something, to just comment a note of encouragement to them. I think that starts to build that example of concern and caring and starts building a relationship.
Naomi, I love the idea of relationship building, and we're going to get into this in just a second, and that it can happen both formally and informally. My favorite example at my local congregation is we have a women's book club that meets once a month, and we'll read pretty much anything. I mean, we've read from Christian religious literature to Stephen King. We'll read anything. We'll frame it in the context of Christian values, but we'll read anything. But one of the most valuable parts of that book club has been the wide generational range of women that attend. And it's one of the few activities, not on purpose, just not by design, but just the way that it's worked out. One of the few activities at my congregation that truly is intergenerational. And I have been so blessed to be able to learn from the older women in that setting and be able to develop relationships and friendships with them too, that maybe wouldn't happen otherwise. So it's really neat when it's not exactly ministry. I mean, yeah, we talk about, you know, books and bring our Christian values into it, but it isn't, I would say, a specific arm of ministry, but it's a really cool way where these encouragements from Titus play out in, I don't want to say an ancillary way, but not in a way that is the primary focus. It happens naturally, and that's really neat.
Thank you, Christy. I appreciate the conversation about these conversations happening naturally, because when you are grounded in God's word and you are gathered around worship and those that have their foundation in your life, you're able to speak and mentor and encourage in those relationships outside of just a formal ministry setting. And I think that that's the brilliance of the church that Paul was talking to when he was talking to Titus and what he was hoping for.
It's neat to see it both ways. It's neat to see it in the formal ministry setting. And Naomi, like you mentioned, it's the mentoring. It's for us, we have a lot of families who usher, like the, you can see the parents and then their kids are there ushering as well, but it is also informal. And I really love that both of those happen in a congregation.
In my experience, I've always been in a much smaller mission setting. And I think when you look for these things to be there for all of these different groups that Paul was encouraging Titus to encourage, when they're missing, they're very obvious. And it really gives you something to pray for, that God would provide those people and that wisdom and that understanding. And you can see why Paul would give this encouragement to Titus as this congregation is growing and developing, that these are foundational to who we are as God's people.
So those relationships are one of the aspects that this devotion kind of picks up on, and talk specifically just about how women tend to be more likely to see and treasure those relationships. How do you see those relationship building skills fitting in well with your unique calling as a helper?
I appreciate the fact that women do tend to have those relationship building skills more. I don't want to go too far and say that that is something that definitely fits into our calling of helper. We know that women have a calling of helper, and we know that stereotypically women have relationship building skills, maybe more so than men. And it's a stereotype, so it isn't true across the board, but like any stereotype, it's definitely rooted in truth. And so I want to say the relationship building skills inform and assist our calling of helper, but they aren't necessarily tied in. That said, I think that the relationship building skills can come into play because we as women are maybe more natural to see something that needs to get taken care of and know this is the person that I have a relationship with. Maybe they can take care of it and I can use my relationship that I have with them in order to encourage and assist them in getting involved. Or on the flip side, we can see a person who is looking to get involved, but doesn't necessarily know how and isn't necessarily confident in asking, and use, again, that relationship that we have to bring them into a place where they can serve. So doing what women stereotypically tend to do naturally, noticing things and then utilizing those relationships in order to help assist get those things done.
Christy, I really appreciate you saying that. You articulated that very well. I kind of had a similar experience in my work, in which there were different siloed entities that needed to be brought together. And as a woman, I knew that the relational part of it needed to be there. But the people that I was meeting with were all men. And I'm sure they wouldn't, you know, we're kind of like, well, the work is getting done. Why do we need to meet? And I know in the beginning stages of setting up these weekly meetings, they were probably like, why are we meeting? And I would just have to keep talking. And God has given me that ability to just keep talking. And over time, all of a sudden the doors opened and the relationship built and the connections were made and the workflow started and things had to be there. But it was an opportunity that I recognized God has given me this ability. I do see this relational need here. And as a helper, I know I just need to step into this and help make this work. And God blessed it. But it's weird because you can't necessarily put your finger on it. You just know it when you see it.
I agree, Dawn. And I think that oftentimes women perceive needs and something that needs to be not just done, but they'll sense a problem or whatever. But I think too, that women oftentimes see relationships as part of the solution that mm-hmm. you know, my husband is thinking, okay, and so what is it that you're saying to me or asking me, or we've all been in that situation. What's the solution you're looking for type of thing? And I think that women oftentimes recognize that sometimes the solution is just the relationship and just building it. I need to connect with someone. And so I think that we have that need as well as that ability. But it's interesting that sometimes even as a helper, we can recognize just the need for people to have those relationships.
And I think too, Naomi, we recognize that maybe a relationship isn't necessary in terms of getting the task done. And Dawn, this is kind of what you were saying too. Can the task get done without a relationship? Sure, absolutely. It can happen. It can happen. Will a relationship or will building those relationships while the task is getting done fulfill the task better and help people to grow when they are doing it? Probably, yes. And that is where I think we bring more of a unique spin on things. And that's where we've talked about this before. It's so helpful to have men and women working together in congregations, in the home, in life, because each brings their own set of strengths. And so putting those together helps to get the job and the tasks done in an even better way than they would with only one person working on it.
And I think in, you know, a secular work environment where a Christian wonders how they can shine their light, I would give the encouragement to a Christian woman just to put into play and recognize the benefit they bring as a Christian woman when their light is shown through the relationships that they develop and nurture and encourage in their everyday life. And that sometimes, you know, we worry so much about what we say or having the right words, but this relational understanding of caring about somebody, noticing somebody, picking up on a sad day or a happy day. Those are gifts that God has given women. Again, you don't want to stereotype overly, but man, you make an impact in the world around you when you just are who God made you to be.
And I think you can make that impact and live out your faith without ever saying a word about your faith. And that's where friendship evangelism is such a cool thing. You build a relationship with someone. And yeah, maybe you talk about, okay, I'm going to church, or, you know, I'm doing this and volunteering here. But it's a natural conversation then, as opposed to a forced shoehorn conversation because of that relationship that you've built. That's really cool when that happens.
Playing off or building off of some of the things you were just talking about as far as these things, relationship skills and things being strengths for women in general, how can women help others in their congregation to do the same, right? To play to their strengths as we all seek to build up the body of Christ?
I think when you have this in your mind as a concept of how God's built and designed all of this, it helps you to notice the people around you, to see the other women in the congregation and notice how has God gifted them? Where are they blessed in developing relationships? Are they someone who like runs right up to the new person and welcomes them? Oh my goodness, what a great opportunity to encourage her to keep doing that because a new person so wants to feel welcome. Or is it, you know, a person who is always missing the people that are gone, and how can that be developed into something that reaches out to those who are, you know, falling away or getting out of practice with coming to church and growing in their faith and those kind of things. And so I think, you know, when I, as a woman, notice or know the importance of this, it helps me look for it in other people and then let them know, I see this in you. And here's a way I see how that can be a benefit to the church.
John, you just hit on something that I do not do well. And I'm not sure, I've talked about stereotypes because I'm not super strong in relationship building. That's an aspect of femaleness that I am not quite as gifted at. It kind of plays out with the math and the more analytical. And for me, a lot of times it's so much easier to see something that needs to get done and want to take care of it myself. But it is so important, and I don't do this as well as I should. I'm trying to see what other people are good at and give them the encouragement, because chances are they can do it better than I can. They probably can. There's so many things that, I can do, but I'm just doing it to get it done. And somebody else has a passion for this. And so trying intentionally to pair people in the congregation, playing to their strengths, pair people with their spiritual gifts. And again, using our relationship building skills, our role of helper to try to put women and men into that situation is a really cool thing to be able to do. It's hard a lot of times because sometimes it is easier to do it yourself, but it's not the best to do it yourself. And so that's where helping others play to their strengths as well, especially when they don't even know where to start, is an important task.
Yeah, I was just going to follow up with that. Most people don't necessarily know what God has gifted them with. And I know we're going to be talking about this more next week, but as an older woman, if I want to put myself in that category, I don't know, can recognize and say, wow, you are really good at loving your husband when you speak in this way, or you are really good at being kind to people who are around you and bringing out the best in them, or whatever it is. I think that helps them see themselves the way God intended them to be, instead of kind of wondering and guessing. And that's meaningful for anyone to hear that. But I think as those of us who have been in the Word, what a responsibility we have to live out that way.
I love the passage in Philippians that talks about, you know, looking to the interests of others. And the idea is not just that you even see it, but I totally agree. I think what we've identified too is that that is one of the steps, really, is to just take the time to see the strengths of other people. But the idea also incorporates the idea that you look after it, that you're finding ways to encourage them. So one way that I've seen this, for example, in the music world is when you meet a young piano student that is interested in music or whatever, and you can connect them to someone else who's got great music skills and can encourage and nurture them, or whatever that looks like. And that can play out a thousand ways in the church. But again, I think a lot of that is going to happen as we build the relationships and get to know people, but truly taking time to consider what the strengths and gifts of other people are. And I think that that's the picture too, that I see in Philippians, that you're just as concerned about helping other people engage their gifts as you are about engaging your gifts. And so there's that whole body picture working together. And I think that that's captured here as well.
Christy, can you give us a picture of where we are going later this week as we head into our second email and the application of some of the things that we talked about today into our lives?
So this first devotion kind of just talked broadly about the section of Titus 2. Next devotion, the second half of this week, we're going to get a little bit deeper into the section of teaching the women to teach what is good. So focusing a little bit more on what are the specific encouragements to Titus for women, and how do those play out in our congregations and in our lives.
All right. Thanks for joining us today. Be sure to stop by later this week as we continue our conversation. See you then.